How to Negotiate Problems and Objections is the title of Session 6. In this session of Integrity Selling, you'll learn that negotiation is working out the problems that keep people from buying when they want to buy. You'll also learn how to keep negotiation from becoming combative or adversarial. Here's Ron Willingham.
It's in the negotiation stage that a very high percentage of sales blow up. The reasons? Well, first, our view of what negotiation is influences our success. If we view it as combat, we'll allow ourselves to get into combat, and this kills many sales. And secondly, when negotiation enters into a sales situation, it often dips into a battle of egos. Too often, one side or the other looks at the sales transaction as an "I want to win at your expense" situation. When this happens, defenses are aroused, emotions enter the picture, and usually logic goes out the window. When our egos begin to assert themselves, anything can happen. The more I'm in selling, the more I see people's egos influencing the outcome. Whether a person buys or fails to buy often has more to do with ego than logic. And I suppose that nowhere does this emotion show itself more than in the negotiation step of the sale. This is the time when egos are the most sensitive and vulnerable. Once I called on a person who was very excited about my doing several sales seminars for his firm. We progressed very well through the interview, demonstration, and validation steps. He was very positive. He had a need. He very readily admitted his need. He knew and respected other clients of mine and was positively influenced by their letters of endorsement. We discussed times and locations, and he told me that he'd have to get approval for the funds, but that he expected no problem. I was to get back to him in a week. So when I called back, I could tell his enthusiasm was still very high. He was friendly, he was laughing and joking, and I got excited because I could tell from his positive response that he wanted to go ahead. And then he said, "The boss told me that I'll have to beat you down on your fees before we can go ahead." Well, the moment he said, "beat you down," my ego flared up. Of course, I should have known better. After all, I'm an expert. Yeah, I'm the one who teaches other people. Well, without thinking, I said, "I do good work and I don't cut my fees." And then I rushed in where angels fear to tread. I told him that he could get people who charge less, but that I delivered the goods, that I guaranteed my work, and that I caused results to happen. Well, even over the telephone, I could almost hear him tense up, grit his teeth, and get ready to come back at me. The tone of his voice trailed off very noticeably into icicles. He stalled me by saying that he'd have to get back to his boss, and he ended the conversation very quickly. After I hung up, I could kick myself for doing what I knew better than to do. It dawned on me that I had put him in a position of not only having to defend his own ego with me, but also to defend it with his boss. After thinking, I realized that I should have listened to him without defensiveness when he said he'd have to beat me down. Then I should have softly countered, "I understand how you feel. Everyone has to watch their budgets. I know that the cost is important to you." And then I should have gone on by saying that most of my other clients felt the same way before I worked with them. But then they found that my training gets results for them, and that value is measured by results, not just in the dollars they cost. Well, this is what I should have said, but unfortunately I didn't. If you'll stop for a moment, you'll see that I should have used three key words in my response to his objection. I should have used the words feel, felt, found. Let's stop for a moment and think about the feel, felt, found formula. First of all, using this formula disarms people. They can't fight you when you show them that you understand them. The psychology of this is extremely powerful. To appreciate it, I suppose, we first need to stress that one of the greatest needs that people have is to be understood and valued. Most of us are willing to exchange our objections for understanding and value. By this I mean that we'll often give in if we think the other person sincerely values us and understands us. Value and understanding shown to people are very powerful reinforcers. And remember, when you positively reinforce people, they'll be instinctively compelled to see things your way. So remember the feel, felt, found formula. Whenever you get an objection, pause and adapt these three phrases to the situation. And the three phrases are, "I understand how you feel," "others have felt the same way," until they found out that, and then mention what they found out that changed their minds. As I said, adapt your own words and use the feel, felt, found formula as best suits the occasion. And remember, people are often willing to change their positions when they know that you understand how they feel and when you grant them the right to feel that way. Now, in addition to the feel, felt, found formula, let's think about the four action guides for effective negotiation. These are four things you can do in your everyday selling to help you work out problems that keep people from buying. The four action guides are: 1, find out what concerns or objections remain; 2, welcome and understand objections; 3, identify and isolate specific objections; and 4, discuss possible solutions, ask their opinions for the best solutions. The first action guide is, find out what concerns and objections remain. You might ask a simple question like, what concerns do you have at this time that need to be addressed? This is, in a sense, a trial close question. Of course, you want to rephrase it to fit what you're selling. This question is designed to flush out people's real objections. Hopefully, they'll tell you what you need to know. Be prepared to respond with, I understand how you feel, and then finish with the feel, felt, found response every time you get an objection. So the first action guide gets at the truth. It directs you to find out what concerns, problems, or objections remain. Ask non-threatening questions that show your genuine desire to understand their concerns. Figuratively, get on the same side of the bargaining table with them. The next action guide is to welcome and understand objections. Let people know that you understand how they feel. It's just logical that when you know some of the reasons why people won't buy, then you're closer to knowing why they will buy. Most salespeople don't welcome objections. At least that's been my experience. They're afraid of them. But it's best to know what people are thinking rather than not knowing. So we should have the courage to face the truth. If they're reluctant to tell you the reasons for not buying, then ask some indirect questions that cause their real reasons to surface. Here are some questions that you might ask in order to better understand their objections. Remember, it's important to be sensitive and diplomatic as you ask these questions. 1, if you were to assess what you like most and what you like least about this product or service, what would be some of your thoughts? 2, what are some of the concerns about this filling your needs? 3, what reservations do you have that need to be satisfied before you're ready to make a decision? 4, what questions or concerns do you have that still aren't resolved? 5, is there anyone else that you'll have to talk to before making a decision? And 6, is there anyone else who you'll have to bring into this before a decision can be reached? These and other similar questions can help you understand people's real reasons for not buying. The wise salesperson learns that what people say isn't always what they really mean, so you'll usually have to read between the lines. When you welcome objections, you benefit several ways. First of all, you're more apt to learn what they really want and what they're really saying. And secondly, you have another chance to listen to and to reinforce them. This in itself often reduces their defensiveness. As people express and talk about their objections, it's important to give positive reinforcement to them. You can do this by nodding affirmatively, by verbalizing positive responses, and by showing them that you value them. This kind of positive reinforcement shows them that you appreciate their viewpoint and that you value it. This in turn causes them to be less defensive and more open-minded to your views. These psychological persuasion skills work through people's instinctive levels and not just through their conscious levels. They're very powerful in neutralizing ego defenses and buyer resistances. And frankly, they're nothing but old-fashioned values of concern and sincerity. And then the third action guide to practice this week is to identify and isolate specific objections. A good way to establish this once you understand the main objection is to ask, if I understand the main problem, it is, and then state the objection. Once people agree that you have identified the main problem or reason for not buying now, you want to get agreement that they want to work it out. If they don't want to work it out, you're probably not going any further. The purpose is to identify and get agreement that the problem you've isolated is the real one. After you've done this, you can sit down with them and see what can be worked out. You can ask for their opinions about the best solutions. You can get them thinking and sharing and discussing possible solutions. I like to picture negotiation as being a situation where both salespeople and customers sit down together to see if they can work out a solution. This puts you in a counselor or helper role. In needs-focused selling, you must maintain the posture of a helper and not an adversary. Your attitude, your body language, and physical position are very important. Paraphrasing, giving positive reinforcement, and demonstrating value to people powerfully communicates to them that you want to help them work through their objections. This type of social interaction helps you deepen your rapport and helps people want to buy from you. It helps prepare them to make a decision. Even when people express strong objections, their feelings may often swing to the opposite position if you'll listen non-defensively to them and respond by giving psychological value. Again, let me emphasize that dealing with objections has so much to do with ego. Too often, salespeople allow themselves to be pitted against customers. Then neither side will give in because they don't want to lose. Often, salespeople attempt to overcome objections by proving the other person is wrong. Now, that's a battle that salespeople can't possibly win. We should always allow people to be heroes. We can do this by consciously avoiding ego battles, by listening non-defensively, by giving positive reinforcement, by valuing what they say. Please listen to this message each day this week. Practice the psychological principles that I've mentioned in it. Ask, listen, paraphrase. Practice the feel, felt, found formula. Also, particularly practice the four action guides for working out the problems that keep people from buying. It's important to remember that the best way to deal with an objection is to answer it before it comes up. This can be done in the earlier steps of the 8 Incorporated system. In your interview step, you should always try to find out what roadblocks or objections might possibly come up. Try to anticipate them in that step. But when objections do come up, and they will, you'll find these suggestions very powerful in dealing with them. Look at the negotiation step as one in which you sit down together and work toward a solution that will benefit both of you. Keep in mind that selling must always be a win-win situation. Your customers must always win, and you must always win. This is what integrity selling is all about. As you get into negotiation, you want to always understand the behavior styles of people involved. You want to understand your own as well, and how it interacts with other people's styles. Learning these negotiation skills can significantly increase your sales effectiveness.